The Splendor of You. Here is your host, Debbie Sansone Schlaprisi.
Hi, I'm Debbie Schlaprisi. Welcome to The Splendor of You. This morning we have a wonderful guest. Here's how it all happened. I had a conversation with this young lady a short time ago, what I thought was going to be a very brief conversation. And basically, in closing, she mentioned to me, oh, there are so many things that I want to share with you that I've learned. And I said, well, will you just share one? Because I was in a hurry and I had to get where I was going. And I know her time is valuable. And with that, my friends, I have to tell you, she launched into one of the most marvelous conversations that I found myself on the edge of my seat wanting to hear more and more. And what I thought was going to be a brief conversation continued on. And the only disappointment is that it wasn't even longer. I ask you right now, prepare yourselves to be on the edge of your seat. You know, in Scripture, our Lord says, behold, I make all things new. Mm-hmm. And after I heard this young woman and after I had an opportunity to speak with her, I really felt like there was newness in my faith. I'm praying for that for you as well. It's pretty powerful. So prepare truly to get caught up in the love of our Savior and our faith, the whole idea of truth, beauty, and goodness, with our guest today, who is Claire Holman. So Claire, welcome. Hi, sweetheart. I'm so glad she's here. I've got to ask you, though, because this was another thing that you had touched upon when we had our supposedly brief conversation on the phone. When I said to you something about hurriedness and busyness, maybe you could talk a little bit about the whole idea of eliminating hurry in our lives and how that will lead us to who God created us to be. Will you talk about that?
Sure. Well, one of the devil's greatest tactics is to tell you you don't have the time. He says, you'll do it later, or you have too much going on your plate right now. And he'll even give you really good things to do. Most of the time,
people
of faith find all kinds of good, holy things to fill their time with.
But you're saying that can even be a devil's tactic.
Almost definitely.
Yeah.
Anything he can do to keep you away from silence. He will do anything to keep you away from silence because he knows that once you sit in silence, you're done. Actually, pivot really quick, is there was another study done that where there was no prompts given, but a psychologist gave their participants the prompt of having just 10 minutes in silence a day. They had nothing specific to think about, but just 10 minutes of silence. And by the end of the study, it was something like 90% started to believe in God. Just from having 10 minutes of silence, of intentional silence, not scattered out throughout the day. It has to be together. Of 10 minutes of intentional silence, putting everything else away, not even reading materials, just sitting in silence.
Yes.
An insane number of them started to believe in God.
Praise God.
So with the power of silence, of course the devil wants to keep you away from it at all costs. If he can't get you to do it with useless things, like things that are not good for your soul, then he'll resort to filling your time with things that are supposedly good. And you can convince yourself very easily, I know this firsthand, that I'm doing good things. So these are things that need to get done. And if I don't do them, then who else will? But in reality, the most important thing I could ever do for any person, any organization, any community is to become a saint. Because following God's path to holiness for you will make ripples effects throughout the kingdom for everything else that you do. And so I need to prioritize my relationship with Jesus, which means prioritizing silence.
Got it.
We need to cut away the things in our life that we spend more time on than God. If there's things that we can't get out of our heads when we're praying, then maybe they started to become idols and trying to figure out how to reorder them. And it's very, very easy to do this with our commitments. And I can find myself thinking about, like, the Bible studies I lead or these other things that are, like, objectively good, but they do not come over my time in silence with God. It's like, oh, I need to go prepare for my Bible study. It's like, well, I should have planned ahead more and prioritized prayer and then organized time around that. But really having our time for silence be the part of our day that we cannot cut around.
That's wonderful. I remember hearing a really wonderful speaker. He's written many, many books. And he talked about on Sundays, particularly, to look at our week and to see time, and it doesn't have to be a Sunday, but perhaps that's a good day prayerfully to to just say, okay, Lord, help me to lay out the plan, particularly for those of us in our lives who may be continuing to work or quite busy. But it also is good for those of us in our lives that perhaps have stepped back and don't have the busyness we once did to still see where Jesus is leading us. But that busyness, I guess, Claire, I'm wondering, you know, how do we begin to eliminate some of that hurry and busy? Maybe just the mere fact of knowing that commitment or that knowledge of, I have to have my prayer. I have to have 10 minutes of quiet. If I find myself stressed, freaked out during the day, you know, almost virtually panting to get to the next stop, some way, somehow, I have to make time to step back. You know, do you have some thoughts about that, Claire?
I do, actually. I think one thing that's not directly related to faith, I learned it in a finance class. My professor told me that we all needed to learn how to say no and how to say it respectfully in a way that dignified the person in front of you. Mm-hmm. It's like when we're asked to do things, even if it's something we want to do, right away to reflect on what's actually important in your life and to see if this will help you get there. So what's important in my life? Becoming a saint. Will involving myself in this activity help me become a saint, or will it hurt me from becoming a saint? Mm. And will me saying yes to this bring me closer to the heart of Christ, or will it just be another thing that's stopping me from coming to prayer? So maybe that's like for additional commitments that we come across is just learning, just like actually taking a moment to reflect on that. And if the answer is no, to like thank the person for thinking of you, but just saying no. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's really hard to do. But another really, really, really important thing is reflecting on your identity. Mm-hmm. And so there's this acronym called RIM, Relationship, Identity, Mission. And where we can really get into trouble is if we flip that around and live MIR, which is Mission, Identity, Relationship.
Say it one more time for me.
Relationship, Identity, Mission is RIM. And that's what we want to live. So we live... So to live RIM is to be in a relationship with God, to have time for silence and to listen to the whispers of Him speaking into your heart that He loves you and that you are His beloved and He has a plan for you and you can trust in Him and His goodness. And from this relationship will come the identity that will become unshakable if you have a strong relationship with the Lord. You'll have an unshakable understanding of your identity as child of God. And understanding that all your worth comes from that. Mm-hmm. It, just being a child of God is where all your worth comes from. Mm-hmm. And from that, the Lord will call you to a unique mission in life where you can use your unique daughtership or sonship to live out His plan for you. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful way to live our life. However, it can very easily be flipped. What a lot of people do is they live a mission and show all their good works to God, see all these things I'm doing, and find their identity in them.
Yes.
And if it doesn't go well, then I'm not a good daughter.
That's right,
daughter.
Claire. I've seen that in my own life. I've done that.
Everyone's lives.
I have.
We have all done it.
No,
I do it.
I get it.
So we take our mission, and we use that as our identity. And let's say, like, my mission is to collect money at masses with the baskets. Mm-hmm. And I one day forget to show up. And I don't collect money with the baskets. And now I say to myself, I am a terrible Catholic and a terrible daughter of God. And God will never love me, relationship. Mm-hmm. So it's going backwards. It's saying, or it might be more subtle. Like, my mission is to pray every day. And which is, yes, it is. And but you find your identity in how good you pray. Mm-hmm. And if you're not praying well, then you couldn't earn God's love. But really the fact is that God loves you just where you're at, and your identity comes from being loved by Him, and your worth is infinite, and from that you'll be called to a mission. But we really have to rest in our relationship. So if we have all these busy things coming out around us, to realize that they're not our identity, is that these commitments that we have is not who we are. Like, who we are is child of God.
That's right.
And so just to, like, spend time in silence praying with what that means, like what your relationship with God is and what it means to be a child of God, and just to understand how beloved you are to Him is really life-changing.
That's so cool. I think for me, I know it, that ego comes in so often. Oh, ego, yes. Even in the midst of good things. Uh-huh. My spiritual director will say, Debbie, don't turn in on yourself. Your eyes are on God. Mm-hmm. So, okay, messed up. Here we go. Thank you, Lord. Go to confession. Talk to Jesus about my sorrows and move on. My eyes are on Him, not on myself. Mm-hmm. Not on where I messed up or I'm the loser. That's really profound. Thank you for that. You know, in closing, we're running out of time, but I have to just ask you, you had talked about the four pillars of faith.
Yes.
And when we had talked before, will you just share those like very briefly?
So in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 42, four essential pillars are described for how to live out the Christian life. And those are prayer, fellowship, teachings of the apostles, and breaking of the bread. So these four things are a very good way to examine our lives and see how we're doing in living out our faith. Number one, prayer. Do we have time for silence? Are we inviting God into our lives and giving Him the space to shower us with all that He wants mm-hmm. to give us? Mm-hmm. Remembering that prayer is a state of receptivity. Fellowship. Are we surrounding ourselves with people who will make us better? You become the average of the five people around you. And
you become the average
of the five people you're closest to.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
So you want to surround yourselves with five people that will make you better. And it's just true. Like the saints normally come in pairs.
We might have to go on a search, friends. We all might have to go on a search for this. I claim Claire, so nobody can get her. Five. Didn't you tell me one of the five is Jesus?
I really am passionate about one of your five being Jesus.
Good.
If you have an hour of prayer a day and you're sitting in silence for that hour, how many people in your life do you have scheduled out a full hour of just one-on-one time with them every day?
You're right.
Honestly, not very many people. Some, like, honestly, most spouses don't even have an hour set aside Mm-mm. of just quality time every day.
Mm-mm.
So if you are praying a holy hour, Jesus can very realistically be in your top five. And imagine, like, if you become the average of your five people, you just got boosted up really good.
Wow. Yeah. We got to the top.
Well, that's actually the whole point of human life, is to become Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
So fellowship.
Fellowship.
Five, Jesus is one of them, four others that help you become actually a better version of yourself to become
a saint.
And if
you don't have that community, pray for it. That is a prayer that Jesus will not hesitate to mm-hmm. grant you, because He knows you need it. And I've prayed friendship novenas several times, and the Lord has brought me the people I needed after, you know, seasons of prayer, but He brings them.
Okay.
And He will always answer that prayer. So the first pillar is prayer. The second is fellowship. The third one is the teachings of the apostles. So this one's very important, is that we just need to fill our intellect with the teachings and love of the church. We need to fill our minds with scripture. One of the saints said, ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not soaking ourselves with scripture, then we're missing out on knowing the character of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
If we need to fill our minds with the teachings of the church and the lives of the saints, and to fill our intellect with these good things.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't fill our intellect with what is true, good, and beautiful, mm-hmm. then we'll fill it with the culture, and it is filled with lies and confusion mm-hmm. and noise that will prevent you from entering into prayer more
mm-hmm.
and will just make life way harder.
Mm-hmm.
And it also turns you in on yourself, whereas what is true, good, and beautiful automatically draws you out.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. filling our mind with the truths of the church and Jesus is essential. And then the fourth pillar is the breaking of the bread, which very clearly resembles the Eucharist, but also more generally all the sacraments.
Mm-hmm.
It is actually impossible to have the intimacy with Jesus that He desires without the sacraments.
Mm-hmm.
Is to be as intimate with Him as He desires, we need to be able to receive Him physically in the Eucharist. We need to receive His mercy through confession. And confession can be very scary for people, but it's actually a place of victory.
Mm-hmm.
Is when we go to confession, we don't just get forgiveness of our sins, but we get the grace not to commit those sins ever again.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're gone, when those sins are confessed, Jesus never thinks about them again.
Mm-hmm.
You are completely free of them. He sees you just like you were the day that you were created, pure and wonderful
yeah.
and beloved. Mm-hmm. And yes, so those four pillars, prayer, fellowship, teachings of the apostles, and the breaking of the bread are very good ways to check yourself on your spiritual journey and just see where you need to grow and where you need to focus.
Claire, in closing, is there any thought, anything that you'd like to just share with the listening audience that we haven't shared at this point?
Yes, actually.
Okay.
So my whole life, I thought that we should try to bring Jesus out to the masses, and we should share Jesus with every single person we encounter and just try to scatter the seeds in every single place we go. And this is still true, but my focus is totally different now. Jesus has shown me that it is super important to go deep with a few, and he will bless that. When Jesus came to earth, he just invested deeply with 12 men, even more deeply specifically with 3. And he shared life with them and lived the 4 pillars of prayer, fellowship, teachings of the apostles, which were originally his teachings, mm-hmm. and breaking the bread with these men, and showed them what it meant mm-hmm. to be children of God, mm-hmm. and then taught them to go teach others. He sent them out. He commissioned them. In Matthew 28:19, he tells them to go and make disciples of all nations. Mm-hmm. And if we can just go deep with a few people and teach them to do the same, we can actually reach the whole world in one generation. It's actually crazy, but if you invest just deeply in 3 people and teach each of them to do the same, it just takes 20 cycles of investment to reach all 7 billion people. It's more than 7 billion. I think it adds up to 8 billion. But you just need to invest deeply in 3 people, asking the Holy Spirit.
And then those 3 invest in 3. All right.
And it's not like you invest in 3 and then you go invest in 3 more. You just invest deeply in 3 people over the course of your life, and you run with them and teach them not only to be faithful, but fruitful witnesses of the gospel, and mm-hmm. to lead 3 other people in discipleship and teaching them to be disciples of Jesus. We can reach the whole world.
Praise God.
In just one generation. And so I encourage you to pray to the Holy Spirit and ask, who are 3 people that I can invest in? Mm-hmm. Who can I invite to go to adoration? Who can I invite to pray the rosary with me? And if there's receptivity to that, working with them, meeting with them weekly and talking about the faith and talking about how to become saints together, and then teaching them to go off and do the same with others.
Claire, what if the initial thought that comes to my mind is, oh, I don't know enough to do that. How would I do that? What's your thought about that? Because I'm wondering, I know that's my initial thought, thinking, do I know enough to be able, you know, to teach anybody anything about my faith? What's your thought about that?
It's not what you know, it's who you know.
Oh, that was so good, Claire.
But truly, you don't need to know about anything. Mother Teresa, mm-hmm. she just loved God. Mm-hmm. And she told everyone. She told the gospel on her 5 fingers, you did it to me. So she treated each person as if they were Jesus, as if she was doing it.
I see. So I don't have to have all of the academics.
No,
I don't have to
my doctorate
in theology.
The devil will always tell you, you're not prepared. You could cause scandal and tell people the wrong thing. And it's true. Like, don't talk about things you don't know, but just tell people that they're loved by God. Walk with them, invite them with you into your current journey. Tell them that you don't know everything, but that you know the one who is everything, and that you want them badly to know him. Mm. And you don't really need to know anything at all other than that God is love. And now you're ready to go.
There, thank you. Yeah. Wow, thank you. You sure leveled the playing ground with that one. Thank you. I get it. Yeah, we can do this.
We can.
I can do this.
Yes.
Our
yes.
listeners can do this.
Yes, you can do
Friends,
this.
Friends, you who are listening, it's you.
But not
it's
only
me.
Can you, the Lord called you to this. At your baptism, you were called to be a missionary disciple. And at your confirmation, you were commissioned. And this is actually your life's purpose, is to make disciples of all nations. And it is the thing that will give you the most fulfillment, joy, peace, satisfaction, because you're living what the Lord has made you to be, a disciple of him.
Claire, thank you. Wow. You've given us our marching orders. No, really. Yeah, like you said, this is a possibility. No, you're basically saying you're called. This is our job.
Yes.
Right? Claire, thank you. You are a gem. You are. I'm going to start to cry. I'm just so touched by you, sweetheart. Thank you for taking.
Praise
I know you're a busy, busy lady, even though we talked about quiet, but you have somehow managed to balance your life in such a way to give us some time today. And I'm just so grateful. God bless you. And I just wish you and your handsome, handsome fiance much great love and happiness. And just a real shout out to your parents for who you have become, and a shout out to you, sweetheart, for becoming your own individual beautiful woman, a daughter of God. God bless you. Friends, thanks so much for tuning in. And if you're like me, because I want to, there are so many nuggets in this show through Claire. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that I want to be able to re-listen. If you'd like to hear the show, feel free, please go to www.splendorview.com. That's www.splendorview.com. And we'll be happy through Catholic Radio to share the show with you once again. God bless you. Remember, your splendor is within. Thanks for tuning in. And once again, thank you, Claire.
Thank you. God bless.
This has been The Splendor of You with Debbie Sansone-Schlaprezy.